then in between weekends, last month I was in Vancouver. And it was interesting talking about war because I did a past life regression workshop there. And for some reason, people who know, who have been to attend to things that I do, I tend to speak to the crowd that's there. And I actually made the comment at one point, I made a comment at one point about how I seem to be talking a lot about war. One man in the audience was very, very upset. And I had spoken to this many of the people that were there on the Thursday night, the week before, when I first arrived in Vancouver. And he'd been very friendly and very talkative, and he couldn't get out of that room quick enough, unfortunately, because I would have liked to have spoken to him. But when you're doing a workshop for 27 people, you're not going, you can't stop the workshop and say, look, I know this isn't comfortable for you. You do the best you can, as I'm saying, in the circumstances. And you know, I bought a puppy yesterday, but I kind of had a strange morning and I forgot, kind of find my purse, and I forgot to put my puppy on, so just think of my puppy here. I deal a lot with war energy at times when I'm working, doing clearings for people and their emotional blocks. It comes up a lot. It's not a very pleasant thing that we do on our planet as to how we seem bent to destroy each other. And although many of us work to hold the light and love and accept, we also run into our own stuff. And as long as we have our own stuff, and I always say, as long as we're not in balance in our own female and female internally, we're going to have war on the outside because we're war inside. We war with our emotions and our mental. We war with our inner male and inner female a lot, often. So I think one of the things of growing older and learning and growing and knowing, you come to a place of peace, what they call peace internally, and you get into those distressed times very seldom. Thank goodness. So those of you that are, well, I'm trying to get my group under 50, it gets easier in some ways. As we move on, because we begin to integrate, hopefully, what we've come to learn and understand and to make it work a lot easier. And I think some of you would agree with that. If not, we are still learning and growing. And again, I just want to talk about a couple of things I'm going to bring in, but I wanted to say, after this weekend, before next week, I'm off to Calgary to do a seven-day intensive, to teach a seven-day intensive. So while I say this now, while I'm just in my preamble, please think lots of good thoughts for me between the 20th and the 27th, 21st and the 27th of November, because I haven't done a long stint like that for a long time. It's a big endeavor, and in some ways, so I will need your love and support from here, I'm sure, as well as all that I can get in many ways. So now let's go to the topic of creating magic. I want you to think about your life for a moment. I want you to think about who you are. How is it? Are you happy with it? Because we have at any point the ability to look back, and when we look ahead, what are we really seeing? We can't really, some of us are a little bit visionary, but I also have learned you never know when something's going to come out of the blue and really knock you to six, or change everything, or make it a little bit different. But I want you to realize that where you are right now is a product of where you've been. And where you're heading, unless you change something, is a product of where you've been. I deal a lot with cycles for people when they come for readings, and what we see is that without any interference is that we tend to be on a very basic six-week cycle, 3 months, 9 months, 18 months, 3 years. I see it over and over and over again. But what we want as humans, I think, very often is somebody to come in with a magic wand. And I find myself saying very often, if I had a magic wand, and I actually often have a wand on my desk, and I'll pick it up and I'll wave it around and say, if I could just wave this and make this all different, I would. But it's not my life. I can give you direction. I can help you to make choices. People come in and say, what should I do? And I'm, as a reader, I don't do that. But I can say, if you do this, this is what likely is to happen. And if you do that, that's what likely to happen. I'll make a decision and a choice. Because it is in those moments that we create the magic of life. It is in those moments when we assume the responsibility of ourselves on the path in the direction of what we want to create that we become magical. If we are sad, if we are unhappy, if we do not like where life has brought us, and the majority of us in the room have had enough of those circumstances, when we look at our life, when we look at where we have been and what we've done, we have either succumbed to it. But because you're in this room, I know that each one of you has been sighted and been wanting to be aware that you will go and do what it needs to take to make things, and I'm going to use the word, better. Better how? You're probably in how you feel. Sometimes when we make, because I'm going to talk, and I look back on my life, I made some really big boo-boos. Believe me. There isn't much I haven't done incorrectly at some point in time. But when you look back from that and you realize, that didn't work. Because I don't always listen to myself. I always say to my students, listen to what I say, don't listen. Do what I say, don't do what I do. And even though it's getting easier, that I tend to live more what I believe and practice, as people say, oh no, you really practice what you teach. And I won't say preach, because I don't preach, but teach. And I really endeavor to do that. But sometimes you get carried away. And so one of the big things I have learned over the years is self-forgiveness. And boy, some days that list can be a little long. But I got off topic as usual. So anyway, we're looking back. And we see how we mess up. I was going to say screw up, but I'm in good company here. Mess up. And we look ahead and all we can see is darkness and clouds, and we don't know what's coming down the turnpike, and we get all upset. So what do we have left but is to utilize what we know? And those of us that have a spiritual understanding, we know that we have a support system out there, even if we don't know how it works yet. We know that that support system is there to aid you, to bring you to a place where you can move forward and begin to grow in a way that brings life together. I don't know what I would have done. We talk about angels. I don't know what I would have done without people showing up or the thing happening. And I was never big. I've had students that have been angel crazy. And I must admit, I have sat a little bit in judgment on that. Not me. Then I talked last time about how I was in Calgary and the angels came and helped me get into another car and get home here only 2 days later. That was truly me being awakened to earth angels, because that's exactly what they were. And I got to be an earth angel for somebody a few weeks ago. Trying to think if it's before I spoke to you or not. Did I speak about this last time? About me being an earth angel? Oh, brush it up. It was very fascinating because I think I did talk about it, but some of you weren't here, so I'll talk about it again because it's kind of in the parallel of what you're putting out and what comes back and how that pay it forward element and how everything flows. Earlier in the day, I was in trail, and we had been talking about picking up hitchhikers. And my friend said that she had never picked up a hitchhiker, and I said, well, I have. And, I don't do it very often, and how I check out their auras first. So anyway, I leave trail at 5 p.m. because I want to make it home. Which means at that point of time, a few weeks ago, it was coming on dusk. So I get to Castlegar and I'm turning on to the main highway out of Castlegar, which means about a good hour or so of nothingness till you run to Christina Lake. And there is a young man on the side of the road with his thumb out, dressed in black, with one of those sort of highway type X's on him, And I checked out his aura because I'm just beginning to put my foot down and begin to go up this hill. I put my foot down, and then I realized, we're going to pick up this guy. Well, I am so glad I picked up this young man for many reasons, mainly because it felt like I drove that whole stretch of road in 45 minutes, because we got to chit-chat and talk, and I didn't just have to listen to my brain running around. And secondly, he was stranded. He was from Vernon, and he'd be on his motorcycle, decided to do a motorcycle trip down and around from Vernon, come down 33, hit number 3 across, turning to Castlegar to go north. He was going to go back and catch the ferry across and be back home to make this dinner for everybody that he was making. And he had never been that way before, and he was all excited about it, except They have a new ruling in BC. That if you're going over a certain speed limit in a certain area, you get to get your vehicle impounded for several days. And he just happened to be going a little fast in an 80-click zone north of Castlegar, and a cop found him. So here he was, no motorcycle, stranded in basically Castlegar, had a friend coming down from Vernon to sort of pick him up, and here comes along me. So we put him in the car, and we talked to him. So I let him off at Rock Creek, at the pitcher can there, where his friend was heading down, so he wouldn't have that far to go. But his whole day had been totally missed. But I thought afterwards, I just enjoyed his company. I wouldn't have minded driving into Vernon, because it was just fun to have someone to talk to. But I was thinking, you know, how often we can get placed in the right place at the right time without realizing it. If I had left maybe 5 minutes earlier, I don't know how long. He said he wouldn't be standing there long. But if I had left, and I had delayed, I wanted to get away at 4:30, but I'd been delayed a little. That synchronicity of time always, always takes me aback at times. How that big computer in the sky can place people in places at the absolute appropriate timing. You see, when I was young, I always wanted everything yesterday. Anybody else get like that? Anybody else had or was like that? I was the world's worst because I was a very busy and business. I was a businesswoman. I had young kids. I had many things, and I was also involved in my own growth. And I wanted it all now, if not yesterday. Well, I'll tell you, it took a lot of bumps on the head for me to realize that everything happens at an appropriate time. And I know people who teach goal setting, which I do, but this step I don't do, that put timelines on it. And I found every time I did that, I would go into so much stress, and I probably sabotaged it all anyway. But it never occurred in the timing I wanted. But when it did occur, and it always did, it was appropriate timing. Often it had to wait for a step I had to do in my personal growth. Often it had to wait because of other people that were involved in whatever was going on. But you see, that's the magic. The magic is knowing that it will occur. It is that knowingness. So often I have people come to see me who want to create something. And I'll get lots of phone calls on this, actually, more than anything, people in chaos, you know? And it's like, needs to move into that knowing place. You need to know it's going to show up. It's not for you to know how it's going to show up. Because we always want to know how, right? Some of us do. I learned, let that go. You familiar with the saying, let go and let God? How many's familiar with that saying? Oh, in my book, Spiritual Principles of Wealth, I write about it because I figured it meant just let go. You know, just let go and let God do create everything, etc. And I know a few people who do this, but I found it didn't work for me. So I had to go back to the drawing board and say, okay, what's happening? Because within 3 months, my life was absolute chaos. So I have a very wonderful inner teacher that I sometimes remember to ask questions of. Thanks to Drish, I did that the other night. Sometimes I remember, I have that line. Anyway, this time I went back and sort of said, like, what's going on here? I said, well, what you've forgotten is, if anyone has a problem with the word God, sorry, you're going to hear it. So I would say, do a word chain. So I said to my students when they have a word that they have energy over. If you're giving God something you want, I mean, if you're not giving a signpost of what you're wanting, how does God know what to bring you, in other words, in simple forms? How? So what I began to realize was, if I put out, this is what I want, I let go and let God bring it to me in that way. So what's my part of the bargain? My part of the bargain is to know that it will show up, that it will be there. Now, I had a little bit of an experience when I was in Vancouver that kind of shook me up a little bit. I'd just done this past life regression work. Well, it didn't, actually, that's for me. It didn't really shake me up, but it got me thinking that would be better to say, because I was surprised how calm I was through the whole thing. On my way home from my workshop that I had just done very successfully, I was very happy with myself, I ended up running into another car. Now, it was kind of interesting. And I finally got in my meditation group last Wednesday, I finally went and said, "Wiley, what was that about?" Because I had thought I'd figured it out. I had the incorrect answer. I got the correct answer for me on Wednesday night. Now, what happened like this? It had been raining and dark in Vancouver. Well, it wasn't raining, but it was dark, and I was going back to the friend's place I stay with in a backward way, which is not well lit. But it was interesting. In front of me, a cab had pulled over the side of the road to let his passenger out. I moved over and passed him to stop at the stop sign. I looked, which I'm actually known as being a very good driver, and so I'm looking both ways, and I vaguely remember, in retrospect, way down at the end, sort of at the end of this, I think it's a dead end Murray actually, there were some lights. Then what I did is I started off, look in my rearview mirror at the cab. Why? I have no idea. And the next thing I know, because I'm the one that's at the stop sign, the other guy doesn't have a stop sign, I am driving in, I have driven into this car. And I remember thinking, where the hell did you come from? That was my thought. Like, and he got out of the car and I thought, oh no, I've got, you know, he's going crazy. But he bumped his head or something. And I think he'd been drinking because the cab driver, he's, thank God for the cab driver, because I haven't had an accident in so many years, and trucks would, I don't want to have another one. For so long, I was like, what do I do? What do I, because I knew everything had changed from the time, days when I had to, I have to do this. And he just said to me, watch that guy, he doesn't try to say another guy's driving that car. Anyway, I thought, well, it's my responsibility, I drove into him. And I damaged my car a little bit. His car was much, which was his mother's. Oh yeah, stories are always much more delightful, right? Like his whole concern, it's my mother's car. Oh, she's gonna be so upset. And I said, well, you know, like, I know I drove into you, so. Yeah, but you don't understand, she's Irish. He wasn't a young man, he was a middle-aged man, and I presume he had a few drinks. He didn't want the police called. He said, no, you know, it's okay, here's my driver's license, here's my number, so we did that part. But it was so interesting, because here's the cab driver trying to take care of my interests, right, to make sure I'm okay, he gives me his phone number. But what I got thinking, well, okay, my friend, and now I just want you to see how an analytical mind will take a look at this, and how I actually ended up with a little different answer. My car can drive. My indicator light on the right passenger side is smashed and the running light is gone. Not too much else damage is done to my car. So I'm thinking, okay. I do a lot of symbolism around cars, by the way. Often when people have accidents, I'll explain what the accident means to them. So I'm very competent at this. So I sit down and I go and say, think myself, okay, it's a turning light, so it's not like a headlight, which would be really be important. It's in the front, so it's the future. And so it's probably somebody or something coming that's not super close, it's not a headlight, it's not going to devastate me. See how analytical I got about the whole thing? Because I have a lot of family in New Zealand that are old compared to me. And I never know when that phone's going to go if someone's died. I mean, it's a reality I live with. So I'm going, oh, but it can't be really my close family because then it would be a headlight, because that would be really upsetting, because you can't really drive without a headlight. You can drive without an indicator light or a running light. You can do that. So I think I got it sorted. Oh, in 3 days, maybe I'll get a phone call. Okay, no problem. No phone call in 3 days. So I sit down on Wednesday night, leave my... the visualization of what we get. Now, I had a card, it was a card that talked about habits. So I sort of was thinking about that, and I thought, habits, and I thought, reflecting on a few things that I'm kind of habitual about. All of a sudden, I thought about the accident. And what I got was this. Do not look behind, focus on where you're going. See, I'd forgotten I was looking in the rearview mirror for that split second when I should have been watching this guy come up the road probably too fast. Because why didn't he see me and stop? Because I pulled out into the intersection. I wasn't black. I had two headlights. But anyway, I went, oh my goodness, right. The message is stay focused on where you're going. And actually, I was thinking about that driving here this morning. because I couldn't find my purse, and I've been watching my, those that know me know I watch my soccer team, which won, I'm very happy about that. And I'd gone, you know, in the break, and I had my shower and got my clothes, didn't like what I was wearing, changed them. Then I went to leave, missed my purse. I still do not know what I got my purse. I vaguely remember coming in the house, and I was in a hurry yesterday, and guess where, to go where. And I remember thinking, well, this is a strange place to put my purse. But of course, I thought I would remember it, but I didn't. So I locked my purse, and I hadn't done this, I hadn't done that, to go back, get a couple of things. Focus on where you're heading. Where are you going? What are you doing? People will tell you, at the beginning of the year, I knew what I was doing pretty well every weekend till the end of this year. Not totally, but pretty close. I have very little idea of next year, except I know I'm going to New Zealand for 3 weeks, January and February. I have people saying, when are you going to do your workshops in Edmonton? People want me to go back to Calgary, I haven't been there yet. Vancouver, when are you coming back? When are you going to do another workshop? When are you going to do this? I haven't got a clue. So I am not focused on really where I'm going. So I'm promising people by December I will have. I'm laughing. I don't think by end of December I'll have an idea, hopefully, of what I'm doing. I think I'm back in Vancouver around May long weekend. I think. But isn't that interesting how we got from 1 year where I knew people said, how? I said, well, I'm going to do this show and that show, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I'm gonna, this year I'm going, maybe I'll do this, maybe I'll do that. So I'm not as focused. I know what I want to do. I know what I'd like it to be like, but I haven't made a focused decision. Now, to tie this back to what I was talking about, decision making is the key point of what is going on in your lives. So when you look back over there, the key points of change and alteration will occur at decisional points. When you make a decision, your path can shift and change. Now, it's like turning a boat around in the ocean. It doesn't turn around like that. I always say you need 6 weeks to change the pattern before you begin to see anything. So in the first while, you're dealing with the old stuff that you'd already created. But what is the decision that you're making about yourself? For today is the first day of the rest of your life, as is every day. Now that saying people say, and I used to hear it, today is the first day of the rest of your life, and I'd go, yeah. You know. Because often I find people make statements that they really don't know what that basis is, but the truth is, that statement is true. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Thoughts that you have today, decisions that you made today, is what occurs. And if you want to be truly magical in your life, if you want to take the reins of your life back, if you want to make your life work, you must make a decision about that. Otherwise, believe me, I see enough people, when I do readings for them, I either say, oh, this looks like scrambled eggs or spaghetti. Because there's no clear lines. There's nothing clear at all about what they're wanting to create, and they wonder why their lives are in chaos. Then they come to see somebody like myself or others, and they wonder why we're not saying their future is all rosy and glory and wonderful. The odd time it is, because they're coming out of a cycle. But if they don't change that inner workings, if they don't change what really makes them tick, guess what? 6 months later, they're back in the chaos. So we have choice. That's why we're humans. That's why we're here. Sometimes I get to see where people come and where they come from and why they don't want to be here and why they do want to be here. And that's always fascinating. But no matter how you got here, no matter whether you were hesitant about coming here, I'm talking about your souls right now, not just your this life. I'm talking about when you first come to this planet. However you got here, whether you were sent here, whether you came here hesitantly, whether you came here, which I love to feel the energy of, excitement and the adventure, you're here. Whether you wanted to be born in this body or not, you did. So the first thing is to accept that and get over yourselves, as they say. Oh dear. This moment right now is always the beginning of where you're going to go and what you're going to create and what you're going to do. You know, next month, it was 7 years ago, I had to declare bankruptcy. And I was a lot about that because I'm going, next year I can go in and get another car without, you know, feeling you're not going to give it to me because I have this little mark on me. But that declaring bankruptcy changed my whole life in many different ways. Because my daughter even said to me, one thing I love about you, Mom, you just keep on going. Now that's an example I want to leave for my kids. I don't just roll over and poor me. I probably did that for 5 minutes. But where does it get you? Where do you want to go? Where do you want to be? I've got plans. I've got things I want to do. Now I'm short-sighted for a reason, because it takes difficulty to look at that long future out there. But I do have things I want to do. In fact, I probably have to have 5 more lifetimes to do all the things I want to do right now. So I'm going to think about the next one sometime, which I do from time to time, in a way. People know that. Why do I want to be next time? How do I want to go?
Race car driving.
No, that's not on my itinerary. I think I might have done that once. So anyway, if you didn't hear that, Trish said race car driver. No. I don't think so. Like, too many falls in this lifetime has made me a little nervous of speed and broken bones and hurting. I was fearless as a child and it didn't work well. But there again, I'll be a new child, wouldn't I? And if I clear everything out now, I'll just be sparkly and bright. Now, I see, of course, Tina always looking at her clock, and I know I've given her a little bit of extra time because we have no song, so it's my voice that is the song. So, oh dear. So, anyway, back on course. Looking ahead. So this might be a time to do something else I was going to do. So, Christina, you can help me. In my blue bag there, you'll see a white bag. Can you bring that out for me? Because I like to, as you know, when I come, I like to give something or read something or do something besides the sound of my voice. Just put that on my chair. Now, some of you had this last time when I was here, and I had money in them. There's no money in them this time.
Aww.
No time for that. But you will remember there were little cards in there, right? And some of you came up and said, I can't believe how this little card relates to me. That's what I want you to be aware of, is that there is nothing in your world that is totally accidental, even if you don't like it. I didn't like driving. It's going to cost me $500 and more money every month. Just like, I guess I didn't tithe enough or something. But no, the truth was I was losing focus. I wasn't looking ahead. I'm going to Calgary to do this course. Yeah, I've got that. But there was also some hesitation about that as well. So there was a lot. So I began to take things in hand and made some phone calls I needed to make that I've been putting off. Because at times I do put things off. So while I'm just nattering, can you just take one of those little cards and pass it around so everybody gets one? They can just pass it. Just take a little envelope. You can open it. Why are we attracted to, by the way, the expos I go to, I sell these for $2. Just to let you know, you can get a $2 gift. I sat for hours putting stickers on the front, etc. All done with my own little hands. But what it is that, because when people come to the expos that I do, is that, you know, they pay a lot of money to see us, or they go, there's nothing that people who don't have too much money, there's nothing too much for them. And so I really work to give somebody of all areas at least something that they can go home with if they want. And most people, when they open their mouth, they go, oh my goodness. Because some of them will sort of look at it and don't really want to think about it, but others will say, I can't believe this. Because it relates. Now, how come it relates? You've got a big bag, a basket there. Thanks. Oh, Sherry's not here. Thanks to Sherry, I have this lovely big basket there. And you pick an envelope out of it. So we're going to wait until everyone's got one, then I'm going to ask some hands up so you can see. But because I want you to read it, and I want you to think about it. Because, how come it relates? Because it does. One way or another, it will. It will have you thinking. It will have you look. It will have you be aware that, yes, this is what is happening. This is what's going on. Nothing is without an inference back to the vibration. It's easy when you're a hermit to be very peaceful and at one with the divine. Because there's nothing to escape but you. And you can get you very sorted and cleared out. And we all need those times when we go inside and we just are quiet and we come to an awareness of what? Ever, that is. But put us with a bunch of people and you're going to get triggered wherever it is you need to get triggered. I had a good friend stay with me this week. We're long-time friends, and for the first time ever, she absolutely worried me because she had no energy whatsoever. But one thing she said to me, "You know, Norma, I've never heard you with such a harsh voice before." "Well, do you think I want to have a harsh voice? You seem to be abrupt." I didn't really think about that. Am I abrupt? What have I changed? What have I done? And is that accurate? Does everybody think I'm just really abrupt and brash? Because I can be a bit like that, but I see a cycle. Years ago, I was like that a lot. And I've really worked to soften me, to allow the lovingness I feel, to allow the essence of me to come out and to be gentle. But you see, when I was in Vancouver, I worked I had long hours seeing friends, family, working, everything, clients, workshops, blah, blah. And perhaps I thought it was because you're tired. She says, maybe I'm also a bit sensitive, which is true, because she's tired. But you know, if you become aware, it's like the tone of my voice sometimes. I've gone through a shift in energy in the last few months, and I knew that. But it may be, and I just went, thinking about the future, getting the message of that. It's time for me to reintegrate everything in a different level, in a different way. But if I hadn't had that little bust up, I probably wouldn't have gotten the message. I probably would have heard my friend in a different way. So, my apologies to anybody if I've been short and my tone's a little hard. It's not intentional that way, except I do know that that probably comes across that way when I'm very busy, and I've been very busy because I haven't got a lot of time. It's like rush. I'm here now, yes, right, next. So you see, what can happen is that you can become aware of a vibration when you're dealing with, but if I was a, sorry, I got carried away there. But if I was a hermit in the hill, just being close, having all this wonderful energy coming into me, feeling more confident than I felt forever, I wouldn't have anyone saying, "Hold on a minute, you sound a little harsh." Ooh. And that's how we get to grow. That's how we get the reflections back. Because it's the life, it is being in the life, it is being able to receive from the life that we get those reflections back, that's the magic, the real magic of life. Those things that we don't like, and you've got a friend who's strong enough and loves you enough to say, "Hold on a minute, I don't know if you know what you're doing here." That's the magic. It's not the horror. It doesn't mean you're less than. It just means someone has a perception, which, yes, is their perception, but it has relevancy. So have you all read your cards? How many, when you read those little cards, found some relevancy to you? Please put your hand up. Okay. Wow, look at that. Did you put your hand up, Mike, or not?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Paulette, you got your hand up, too?
Yeah.
You're not sure. And about which you do. Okay. Because you see, when you look at the numbers, and if you can't, talk to me after and we'll figure out why not. Because that is the magic, because we do not look at ourselves in a mirror. I'm sorry, jumping ahead of myself again. I didn't bring any water. Is this water mine?
That's yours, water.
Thank you. I think I need some. Yeah. Hang on. I know I'm talking. How long do I get to talk to you? When I can stop whenever I want, right? Oh. Some people would say that's not a good thing to say to me. Now I forgot what I was saying totally, but that's okay. We'll just start again. What was I saying? Yeah, that wasn't the point I was making of it. My voice gave up. So. Pardon?
Oh,
right. Thank you. That's it. Yeah. See, a lot of people, you heard the statement about mirroring, that life is a mirror. Well, people who study with me know I don't say that. Life is a reflector. What we get very often from life is not a straight-on look like we do when we look in a mirror. We get something that comes on at an angle. Reminds me of those mirrors, you know, that you can pull out and you can look at yourself and see yourself go forever. That's what life is a lot like. It reflects to us all of that. It brings to us a sense of that, a small reflection, because you're so vast. There's so much largeness within you. You have so many areas of your life that you influence more than you realize. When you're walking down the street, do you smile at people, or do you frown, or do you ignore them totally? Do you wish no one was there? How is your world around you? Are people smiling at you or not? When you greet somebody, do you feel it in your heart, or is it like, okay, the next thing? All things are a reflection of you. And if you are not feeling loved, and if you're not feeling welcomed, if you're not feeling a part of anything, then take a look at what you're putting out. I have talked many times about my rundown Mobile park I live in, and how when I first moved there full time, we used to come out all the time for little breaks, I used to walk around the park giving thanks for living in a beautiful environment. It was not beautiful at all. It still isn't what you would call the most glamorous. But you know what started happening? People started fixing up their yards. People started painting things. People started to do all sorts of things. And of course I did too. But it was like, it began to walk around saying, I'm so grateful to live in a nice place. You are magic. You create your world and all that it is in it. Some of it will be good, some of it will be bad, and some of it will be ugly, but a lot of it will be beautiful. So where do you put your influence? Where do you put your concentration on? Do you put your concentration on what is working, what is good for you, what brings you into being? Do you allow that magic that you have to come out and touch other people so that you can see them spring forward? It's one of the greatest delights I have in life, is watching people take their lives and change them so that they're happy. It's really not about what's going on. It's about being happy. It's about being comfortable. It's about getting up in the middle of your living room and cheering because your team just got a goal in England mega miles away. It's about knowing that somehow or other everything works out, but you don't know how. It's by knowing when you make a decision that things will come together. You don't know how. I made a decision to go back to New Zealand this January, kind of spur at the moment, bought a ticket, and then went, oh, what have I done? I usually like to do that when I know what everything's covered. And it seems like everything's covered, because I know I'm going back one way or the other, so it has to work, right? Once you're in that knowing place, and that is one of the secrets people do not tell you, you must know it. You must know it for real, for you, that you do not know how it's going to show up, but it will. You don't know when, but it will. Yep. And it's in that knowingness that we come to that state of knowing. And we live our lives based on faith, trust, all those words, because we know. And so we know that there is a force in the universe, but we don't know. Those of us that know there is a force in the universe, basically I don't care what you call that, but there is a force. Most of us grew up in a Christian background, so we call it God. I've had students that call it Mohammed. I've had students that call it Guru. I've had students that call it all sorts of things. It doesn't matter. But what is that spirit? What is that to you? Well, my personal name for it is very different, because I look to see, what does this mean to me? this energy. And I forget sometimes that it's there. Because I get caught up in all the things I have to do. And then I have a little accident, and I'm reminded, stay centered and focused ahead. And so I want you just to close your eyes for a moment for me, and I want you just to imagine that you're walking down a road. As you're walking down this road, I want you to notice the road. Is it a smooth, tar-sealed road? Or is it a dusty road full of, you know, rocks? Is it a wide road or a narrow road? Is there green grass on the sides of the road or not? Are they trees? In other words, what does your road look like? If you don't like your road, what do you need to do to it? I want you to alter it in your mind's eye to make it so it really suits you. See it how you would like it to be. And this is your magic. You can change your road. You can make trees and flowers. You can make the road wider. You can make it straight. Forgot to mention, is it curvy or straight? You can make it very easy to walk your road. And then what I want you to do, if you found your road the way you would like it to be, I want you to decide this is how you want your road to be. And put it into that knowing place, which is in your gut, not in your head. It's like, yes, this is what I want. This is how I want my road to be. And then I want you to take a deep breath. Open your eyes and be here, and I want you to know inside that you are magical and that you can create whatever you want in your future. It doesn't matter what's back there, it's there. It's where you're heading and where you're going. God bless and thank you.